Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Hope you're having a great day so far. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass as well. J.C. Latham, Mike Brown, Blake Hansen, Bryce Oliver are out for the Titans. Calvin Ridley is going to be listed as questionable. So that's what we have right now for the injury report. Teron Davenport saying that Ridley did return to practice today after missing Wednesday and Thursday, and then Latham and Oliver were on the side field. Hans and Mike Brown weren't out there at all. So they'll be without some key players. Brian Callahan on Tajay Spears said he worked really well the last couple of weeks to get ready. I had a good week of practice. I'm excited for when we can get him back out there.
Yay!
I don't know if that's Sunday or what that means.
Calvin Ridley's the first player on Titans history that his injury report is the same as his ability to catch passes. Very questionable if he can catch a pass over the middle.
So yeah,
it's
funny
because it's true.
I wonder. So Oliver is out. Ridley is questionable. So could that mean JoJo?
Oh, my gosh. Call him up.
Let's look. Let's see. So right now you have Isle Manor, DK, Jefferson, Lockett. Those are your healthy guys. That's four.
Okay.
Those are the healthy receivers. Ridley's questionable. Oliver's out. My guess is they will call up a receiver. So that's either going to be the strep, James Prochet, or Mason Kinsey.
Call up the strep. Look, DK, say, look, man, you're going to be the last receiver. You just worry about returns. You worry about returns. Let's bring up Restrepo. I mean, I'm telling you, man, he explodes. We've wanted this for weeks now. Let's have this happen. Let's have this happen. Can it get any worse? Right? Let's have this happen. Call up Xavier Restrepo. Let him work some magic on Sunday. And why not?
Yeah. Right, look, I'm at this point, I don't care. Try anything. Whatever works. I don't care. I mean, like, it can't get any worse.
Yeah. Do it. I want to see him play. Why not? God, if he gets in the game Sunday and scores a touchdown and
could you imagine?
They win, I will be uncontrollable on Monday on this show.
Let's bring in Chris Sanders. We'll ask him. He joins us now here on the program. So, Chris, we were just talking about that Bryce Oliver is officially out. Calvin Ridley is questionable.
Oh,
so there
God.
Are four healthy wide receivers. Big Joe is on the call up Xavier Restrepo train like no other. What say you?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they need a spark in this offense. He's not going to beat you deep or do some things like that. He'll keep the chains moving. But, you know, with the situation that's going on, I mean, in my opinion, I know this sounds kind of crazy. I don't think Restrepo is going to really do anything.
Hang up on this fool, will you?
What is he going to do? He's going to get, what, two first downs?
Hey, it's better than dropping a pass over the middle like Ridley.
100%, but I agree with you on that. But, man, I'm going to get two first downs and move the chains out. What, three catches for 7 yards?
I'll take it because I know he's busting his ass. I'll take it.
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. I mean, that's a great answer, man. I agree with you 100%.
What do you want to see now that, you know, that Cam has played his worst game, and
that was
last week. He was very outspoken after the game, which I personally don't have a problem with. With what he said, I want a quarterback and a leader on my team that's going to be honest. I know some have had a problem with it. Jeffrey Simmons gave him advice and all these things. Now, what does the response need to look like?
I want to see growth. I mean, I want to see growth of just having good interviews and everything. I want to see growth of, you know, leading this team to getting some points. Because you look at last week, it wasn't just the offensive line. It wasn't just the secondary. It wasn't just other guys. It was him making some plays and some throws that he shouldn't have made. So I just want to see growth as a, understanding the defense and really leading this offense and making plays like he's capable of making. Because at the end of the day, we can have all the great quotes. We can yell at everybody, you know, that they're not doing their job. But at the end of the day, you're the quarterback. You're the guy that needs to lead the offense to get some points, and it relies on you.
I like it. I also like this song for you. Here we go, Chris.
Baby, you send me. That's the jam.
Right? We're just going to ease into this segment. We're going to ease into feeling good about things, dude, put you in a good mood,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Dude, that's one of my favorite songs, PM Dawn. Come
that's
on,
right.
Man.
I see you bouncing around Columbus doing that song.
Champ, I had the MC Hammer pants on, and my gear was absolutely awful.
Listen, this football team now, you head into an 0-4. You go out to Arizona. We talked last week about one certain receiver had a pretty good coming out party in 1997 named Chris Sanders out in there. You had a hell of a game versus the Cardinals one day on the road out there.
That was Dwayne.
That was Dwayne.
Right. Yeah. So why can't – I mean, look, you guys went out there. Nobody thought you were going to win that game.
Absolutely.
I mean, why can't they win this game on Sunday? I know the obvious about play calling and yada, yada, yada. Sure. But at some point, you're going to win a game.
Yeah, but see, here's the deal. Your stars have to shine. They have to. Cavarilli is a star. Jeffrey Simmons is a star. You know, some other guys are stars. They're just not showing up. And if you don't have your stars not making plays, you're not going to win ball games. Because if you look at the league around, there's a guy on offense, there's a guy on defense that you know that's going to make plays. You look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, offense right now and defense, you have some guys that potentially can make plays, but they're just not making plays, and that's why you sit in a situation to where they're 0-4. I mean, it just it breaks my heart because you went on the offseason, you went and bolstered your offensive line, you got Cavarilli, you went and got some young wide receivers. I just don't understand why these guys are not making plays. So if their stars can shine in this game, like Cavarilli, Jeffrey Simmons, and I don't know if Sweat's playing, but if those stars can start to play, then maybe you can turn this thing around.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I brought it up to you when you did the pregame show last Sunday about your game out in Arizona.
Oh,
friends,
man.
Out in the audience, and we love Chris Sanders. I'm not telling you this because you're on the show with us. But that catch you made in Arizona, when you had to turn back, when the sun was blazing, and you caught that 50-yard, 60-yard bomb from McNair, one of the best catches
I've ever seen.
Was Coach Mack the coach of the Cardinals at the time?
He was not.
No, but yeah, it was called a twist, not a twist, it was both go routes, but it was kind of like, it's called switch, to where the number one wide receiver goes in and I go out, and the guy that was covering me was Aeneas Williams, and as Aeneas Williams is covering me, I knew he was a little older, so I knew I could run by him, but Mack threw a phenomenal pass, just right in the breadbasket. It's funny because when you talk about the sun, I actually couldn't even see where the ball was until it actually was in my hands. So it was a great play by Steve McNair.
What year was that?
97.
90. Dang, that is
Coach
old.
Mack was the defensive coordinator.
Oh, was he?
Yep. Who was the head coach on that team? Was it Buddy Ryan?
Let's see. This was
Mike Munchak.
97.
Hang on. Ask your next question.
I'll do that. No, but I'm telling you. But look, you got an opportunity, and you proved it, and you didn't let him down, and you gave it.
Yeah.
So that's my thing with like calling
Vince Tobin.
Vince Tobin, the former Bears coach. Yeah. So look, that's the thing, is that the opportunity presents itself there. When you get the opportunity, take advantage of it. You got to do that to win games, and if everybody's on the same page and things are clicking like you guys were that day, man, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it is, because the thing about it is when your back is against the wall, you're going to come out swinging or you're going to sit there and get swung on. I mean, it's just that simple. So when we were there in 1997, everybody was talking how bad he was. Everybody was talking all this crazy stuff. So we went out there in Arizona and said, you know, we're gonna punch him square in the face. So if you got the Tennessee Titans right now, they need to have that same attitude. Come out and punch somebody in the face. I'm not saying actually swing at somebody. I'm talking about come out, be physical on defense, be physical on offense. But at the end of the day, your guys have to make plays. Your quarterback's got to make plays. Your offensive line has to protect. You got your defensive line that needs to put pressure on the quarterback. Those are the things that I want to see. And then in the secondary, you can't keep giving up explosive plays every single game. And I just think that they need to change some things.
Chris Sanders is with us. As a player, When the play caller calls in a trick play, how do you take that? Do you get excited about it? Or you're like, man, I don't know if this is the right time. Like, because you know this, Chris.
Yes.
If it works, you're the smartest person on the face of this earth.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I like it when I'm a part of it. But if I'm not a part of it, like, man, what are we doing this for? And then the thing about it is, in practice – we work on that because it's situational ball. We call it situational ball to where if we're running, you know, sweep left and sweep right, then all of a sudden we get them going and we throw a pass backside. You have a trick play like that. If it works, you get excited. But at the end of the day, if that doesn't work, then you put your team back in a hole. But at the end of the day, hey, I love to see some trick plays.
But the thing, I guess I'm asking is, you know, like the Music City Miracle, for instance, I think Jeff said they worked on it every week.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. I don't know. Come on, man. What are we talking about, Willis?
Well,
I didn't know it was called the home run throwback until we actually did it.
I don't think anybody did. Well, okay.
True story.
All right, but coaches will say, like, these are, you know, like, they run a play like that. It's like, oh, we work on this every week in case we need to use it. But you basically just answered my question for me. Because how many guys are going to be like, yeah, we're never going to use this and just kind of, you know, half-step it?
Yeah, because the thing about it is we work on it, you know, in practice. We have our dirty dozen of plays that we're going to run in the game, but then also we have about six or seven trick plays. And I'm going to be honest with you, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to run it because there's some things in the games that happen to where it doesn't allow you to do it. You got to do it at the right time. And here's the cool part about the whole thing. You, as an offensive coordinator, you have to have a feel of what's going on in the game. If you don't have a feel of what's going on in the game, you call a trick play and it'll blow up in your face. You got to understand the situation. You got to understand what's at hand, and you got to understand what the defense is doing. So it's not just calling a trick play. It's understanding, finding out the tendencies of the defense to make sure that works.
So here's my thing, though. I saw a game a few weeks ago. Offense is moving down the field really good, and they call a stupid trick play. And the receiver drops the ball handed to him, and it goes for a 21-yard loss.
I know.
If you're kicking and cruising on all cylinders, don't do a stupid trick play.
See,
keep doing what works. If you're desperate, do it because the team's thinking, they'll never do this, and you're a trick play. But when things are working, don't pull out a trick play.
Yeah, I remember it's funny that we're talking about this. I remember in year 2000, we were playing the Dallas Cowboys on Christmas. And we're just marching down the field, and Derek Mason's catching a pass. I caught one pass, and we're just grinding. Then all of a sudden, we call a trick play to try to throw it to Bruce Matthews, and we try to throw it to Bruce Matthews, and Mac throws an interception. So I you see what I'm saying? So why not be like, okay, if we're at the 4-yard line, just run Eddie outside zone, just run Eddie inside zone, and hit him in the mouth. You just got to know when to run it. I'm going to give you another example. When you're talking about running it at the right time, look at when Philly was in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it's called the Philly Special. Nobody expected it. Nobody even thought. But then all of a sudden you run the Philly Special and the defense is out of position. They score, win the game. You just got to know when to run it.
Right. And Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach, talked about they ran that play through practice.
Yes.
And it always worked. And the guy's like, it's going to work. And they were stuck down the goal lines like, all right, how are we going to do this? Because New England knows what we're going to do. They called it, ran it. That was the perfect time to do that.
Yep.
Because you got to do a trick play with the element of surprise.
Yeah,
New England had no idea that was coming.
See, that's when they're running. But here's the great part about it is they've been running into practice over and over and over again, but the leader of your team went to the quarterback and said, Coach, let's run the Philly Special. And the coach said, okay, I got you. And then that's when they ran it. Nick Foles. It was Nick Foles who Foles.
Yep, yeah.
They caught the pass. But he went to the coach and said, Coach, that play we've been practicing in practice every single play. Coach,
Philly.
Yep, and he said, okay, let's do it at the crucial part of the game. And that was the perfect time to do it. So, man, take hat off to your leader and take a hat off to your head coach.
Let me ask you, all right, you ran this play in practice with Bruce Matthews. did y'all laugh? Because the guy is a massive, huge man.
Yeah, I know. Yes, and he's hairy.
He's the hairiest man in America.
Oh, he's the hairiest guy in America. But we're running it in practice, and I'm like, man, what?
Are you sure this is a good idea?
Are you sure? Yeah, are you sure?
Did he always catch it in practice?
It was like fighting. It was like he had on two handcuffs trying to catch the football. But, you know, we ran it in the game, and on Christmas Day, the lights is on, and the offensive coordinator calls it, and Mac throws an interception because they're like, this is awful. So it didn't work.
Holy cow.
Chris, who the Big Red got?
Man, we have CPA, man. Great team, great coach.
Yeah.
So they're hungry for a win. I think they're 1-5, but their record does not, you know, determine how they look. I mean, they're physical. They got a good quarterback, great receivers. We just got to go out there and play big, great ball, be physical, hit them in the mouth, and do what we do.
Well, good luck. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you, as always, joining us
appreciate
here on the program.
You, appreciate you. I love y'all, man.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program, as he always does. We'll react to some of that and some of the Titans reports coming out of practice. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. 2-5 The Game on this Friday. Titans will take on the Cardinals, and of course, Big Joe will be a part of the pregame show coming up at Twin Peaks in Madison this week. Looking forward to that.
Come on out and see it. It's packed in there. It's a lot of fun. There's like a billion TVs. Very cool.
The 29-degree beer, will, of course, and it's brought to you by Old National Bank and Circus Sportsbook, Kentucky, and it'll be Big Joe and I don't know.
Oh, TBA.
A mystery guest.
I like that. You know what's funny? People ask me all the time, all the time, but when I was asked, like when the draft was here in 2019, like, you know, what fan base showed out? Like, you know, was it the Packers or the Cowboys or who was here? I'm telling you, and Justin Beasley was with me through all this stuff during the draft. He could attest to this. There was one fan base that if you equaled 31 other fan bases, would not have equaled this fan base in attendance in Nashville during the draft. I think I told you. Remember who it is?
What?
What fan base showed up more than anybody else? You could add all 31 fan bases together would not equal this fan base who all showed up in Nashville during the draft.
Oh, the Bears.
Nope.
In the the draft?
The draft.
There
were more of this fan base than all other
Packers?
31 combined. No.
Browns.
Nope. I'm not, you got to guess this before I tell you, because the same fan base shows up at Twin Peaks in massive numbers.
Steelers?
Nope. Guess, Dr. Crane, you can guess.
Raiders?
Close.
49ers.
49ers. Huh. I am telling you, there are more San Francisco 49er fans that showed up at the draft and in Middle Tennessee than any other fan base. I will die on that hill. I'm telling you right now, they were everywhere. They were fun. They were loud. They spent money. And they do the same when they come out to Twin Peaks, man. They are around. They love. And they love what happened last night in that game.
Oh, yeah. Look, I watched I literally walked into my house. By the way, I have a small rant, if I can tie this in. So I walk into my house, and I had been listening to it on the radio. And I was like, oh, I want to see the finish, because it was right as McVay is, you know, deciding what he wants to do. Go to Steve Sega. All right. Thank you. Anyway, McVay's this is what we're dealing with over here. I love that you two were just like, oh, we'll be silent while he's
sneezing. Yeah.
Bless you.
Thank you.
We don't want your cooties.
Yeah. Well, that's why I stayed home. But anyway, I'm going to run in the house so I can see it. Well, it was on Amazon, so I have to turn the TV on. I have to go to the apps. I have to go into the app. It pops up, and it does this ad, and I'm like, stop it. And then it's like, do you want to watch the game? And literally, as it loads, they're walking off the field shaking hands.
Oh, no. So you missed it.
So I missed it. And I was like, okay,
yes.
I have been one of those people that I'm like, I don't care. This is where it's going, streaming. But I'm like, this is the first time that I was truly pissed, because if it's on cable or network television, it's a simple turn the TV on and go to the channel, and you're there. And I wouldn't have missed it.
Oh yeah, but I thought you were Mr. Streamer. You said you ripped me apart.
I am. I didn't rip you apart.
Called me an old man who don't want to download the Netflix app and the YouTube and all the other stuff. And yeah, came back to bite you, didn't it, buddy?
And look, it did. It did.
So let me real quick. They had a fourth down, and McVay, instead of kicking a field goal to tie it, went for the first down, right?
Yeah, because he didn't trust the kicker.
Okay. Don't blame him on that.
He didn't trust the kicker, because the kicker – didn't he miss two in the game?
I didn't see the game. I just saw that last drive down the
and
field.
And he missed – he had a bad kick. Like, so he didn't trust the kicker. So I don't – and I watched the press conference, and he even said – like they said, did you think about kicking? He goes, no, It's my fault. I'm mad at myself because that was a bad play call. And it was. It was a bad play call.
He ran, and this drives me crazy, right in the teeth of the defense. Yeah. Scramble out. Run outside where instead of nine guys waiting on you, it's you and your guy versus another guy.
Well,
that was a terrible call.
I like what the panel said. They also, like, Fitz, all of them said the same thing of, why aren't you putting the ball in Puka Nacua's hands?
Yes.
Because, you know, whether it's a jet sweep or a pass or whatever, you know, put the ball in your best player's hands and not, you know, a predictable run up the middle. And so look, to McVay's credit, he kept saying, like, I'm sick right now. This one's on me. I let those guys down. I called the wrong play. It was a bad play call. That's on me. So,
right. As I've told you many times, it's football. It's not rocket science. We don't have to complicate the game with these exotic, wonderful, amazing play calls. You know what works. Put the ball in the hands of the guys that make things happen. Roll Stafford out. Get on the edge. Something. But all too often, we see that easy, lazy handoff up the middle where nine guys are waiting on you. Good for San Francisco. They won the game. McVay's play call didn't lose it. They won the game. They made the play when they had to make the play. So all the 49er fans in Nashville, celebrate, baby. You earned it.
Real quick, Kenny the mailman wants to weigh in. Kenny, what you got?
Hello, good friends. Asking about that game. But first, you know it's a bad season for your football team when the most exciting segment of the week on radio is where the slow traffic red light.
The longest red lights.
Yep.
I mean, literally, you could not get through the other day. You could not text. You couldn't get through. And any other day, it's cricket.
Yep. You're right.
I do have to hand it to the Rams last night. That was a very hard road game for them.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
Literally, if you watched it, that was over 50 to almost 60% 49er fans.
Crazy.
Listen, this is a sad thing to say. I'm going to predict it. After the second year of the new stadium, just about every home game is going to look like that in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. The second year?
How about first game?
People will be excited, but it's just like it's coming. And I was thinking, do you think there are still 20 great home atmospheres in the NFL?
That is a really good question, Kenny.
Man, that's really good.
Because I only came up with about 13, so maybe y'all can work on that.
Yeah. Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. Yeah, we need to think about that. But coming up next, Preds Fest is tomorrow before their final preseason game against the Carolina Hurricanes. We're going to have some help talking about that. Jarek Elmazian, the director of marketing for the Predators, will tell us more about it. We'll talk to him coming up next. Here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Friday, the Predators close out the preseason tomorrow against the Carolina Hurricanes. Max Herz will have pregame coverage for you at 2 o'clock. The puck dropped just after 3 here on 102.5 The Game. But also going on, it's going to be Preds Fest, and it's going to be a lot of fun in Walk of Fame Park from 11 until 2 o'clock. And you can certainly go and check that out. It is free, which makes it the best part. And we're excited to have on a little help to talk about this right now. Jarek Elmazian, the director of marketing, to discuss this right now with us. Jarek, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. This is always a cool thing to kind of, it's the first, well, I guess we've had the first day of school, but this is kind of like the big kickoff to the regular season opening up next week. And I know there's going to be some alums there, including Ryan Ellis. That's going to be exciting.
That's right. The biggest party in Smashville is back. We're super excited to bring Preds Fest back to the fans. And like you mentioned, we got Ryan Ellis making his return to Smashville. He's going to be signing autographs from 1 to 2 o'clock in the park, as well as Hal Gill and Chris Mason, our broadcast team. So we have a number of different things going on. There'll be player appearances. We'll have live music from Nashville recording artists Danny Rose and Danny Warsnub. A lot of family-friendly activities. A bunch of things happening at Preds Fest this year.
Now, Preds fans need to go claim a free ticket, right?
That's correct. Yeah, if you don't have a ticket already, it's a completely free event. You just need to go to predsfest.com. You'll see a little button there where you can claim a free ticket. Get yours and get yourself ready for Preds Fest.
What are some other cool family-friendly things that are going to be going on?
Yeah, so we have a full-size roller skating rink out there this year with a DJ, so that'll be a lot of fun. We also have a custom hat activation where you can get a custom hat made. We'll have an inflatable obstacle course. We'll have custom friendship bracelets that you can make. So a lot of different – for the adults, we have a sampling garden with some of our beverage partners, Jack Daniel's, Surfside, Patron, Mick Ultra. So little something for everyone at Preds Fest this year. We're excited to welcome our entire fan base down to Walk of Fame Park on Saturday.
All right, we're talking to Eric. Is it El Mason? Is that I like, you got like a French twist to your name. Can I pronounce it like that, Eric?
Jarek.
Oh, you know what? Is I like that pronunciation.
Is it Jarek like or Eric?
Jarek.
It's Jarek with a J. My parents didn't do me any favors with the hard to pronounce first name and last name, but
I think it's great. You sound like a Bond villain. I love it. I think it's the perfect name. As you know, Chase knows this, and so does Nick from the Preds. I can't pronounce names anyway, so we'll get through that. All right, so, Jarek, thank you for this. Listen, from those in the past, this is a great event. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow and everything. You guys do such a great job of making it a fan experience. How long have you been planning this out?
Oh, man, pretty much as soon as the last one ended, which I know that kind of sounds a little ridiculous since it was the start of last season. But, you know, we do a recap. We start laying the groundwork for it because we just want it to be the best event that our fans see all season. So,
oh, it's so well done. Now, what time, like if you need to get down there early, what's the time frame? I know the game's at 3 tomorrow, which you can hear right here on 102.5 The Game. What time would you recommend families, everybody getting down there?
Yeah, we had quite the lines waiting to get in last year. I would get down there probably 30 to 45 minutes early. If you are already a season ticket holder, part of our Smashville Loyal, then you actually get first entry to the park. So we open the park just for Smashville Loyal at 10:45 through the fifth and arena entrance. There's three entrances to get into the park, but you're going to want to get down there early because there were long lines last year.
So I see here there's an opportunity to participate in a Hattie B's hot chicken eating contest.
Oh boy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That watching it last year, I don't know that I would do it because it does look a little tough. I mean, that Hattie B's chicken is hot, but yep, you can participate in the Hattie B's chicken eating contest. We're giving away prizes for that, and it was a great time last year. We also have another contest that we're doing on the side stage. It's a catfish reeling contest, so we're going to do that as well.
Oh, that's cool. Listen, I'd love to be in the Hattie B's hot chicken contest, but I don't feel like sitting in a creek for a week, so I'll pass on that one.
Exactly. Yeah, it's already going to be kind of warm out. So,
Jarek, having Ryan Ellis back, I want to go back to that. That's got to be really special because he spent so many years here and was such a fan favorite. I know fans have got to be excited to see him.
Yeah, it means a lot to our fan base. You know, we kind of we put it out there on our social media yesterday, I believe, and the response, the comments and different things that we got back, it was almost overwhelming. I think our fans are excited to see Ryan Ellis back here in Smashville. So, and we're happy to welcome him back as well.
And I know that the kids are going to be, and I think some adults, let's just be honest, including Joe, are going to be excited to have a photo opportunity with Nash from 1 to 1:30. He's going to be out and about.
That's right. That is actually exclusively for our Kids Club members. So if you are we just opened up our Kids Club membership for the 25-26 season. So we will have our Kids Club team at Preds Fest on site. If you purchase a Kids Club pack, then you get exclusive access to a meet and greet with Nash from 1 to 1:30.
That's right. Yeah, Chase, look, Jared, can you do a favor? I want to see Chase and Nash's, like, Nash needs a buddy to walk around. I want to put Chase in that costume and watch him pass out after 15 minutes, not be able to breathe. And can we do that, Jarek?
I mean, I think we can arrange something. Yeah, I could see Nash wanting a break.
Well, he just needs like a little buddy. We need Nash needs a buddy.
Yeah, or a buddy, or
Like, we could see if we can pull that off.
Well, you know, Scooby Doo had Scrappy Doo was his nephew, so Nash needs like a buddy with him.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking about that maybe, you know, like Nash, a buddy or maybe a female counterpart. You never know.
You know. Jerick, be honest. You're never going to call on this show again, are you, man?
No, you guys are great. I'd call in every week if they let me.
We just want a big crowd down tomorrow because I tell people all the time, you guys do these events so perfectly that everybody has fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you did not experience PredsFest last year, it is a full-on festival. We have a large stage. Like I mentioned before, the music performances, the player appearances, all of our partner activations, all the different things going on. Like, it feels like you're stepping into a true festival that only Smashville can deliver.
Well, Jerick, we're looking forward to it. 11 to 2 tomorrow, Walk of Fame Park, before the preseason game against Carolina. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. That is Jerick Almazian joining us here on the program to talk about PredsFest. And again, you need to go to NashvillePredators.com and claim your free ticket and you can go check it out tomorrow. So going to be a lot of fun.
So we got the email from our good friend Nick Barnowski at the Predators, who is a beautiful man, does a great job. And he gave us the phonetic spelling, right, of the name. And look at the email, in parentheses, he says Jerick, and then it says, like Eric.
Right, but I mean, I think because it rhymes with Eric.
So as dumb as I am, I'm thinking, oh, his name is Eric. So, Jerick, I'd like to apologize for being a complete idiot, but if you listen to the show, you know that's par for the course.
Yeah, it is. But that's okay. We still love you. I want to get into the Luke Evangelista stuff, because we haven't really talked about it a lot. I thought that it might be done by now, and it's not, and there's a lot of reports around it, but I want to kind of give my two cents on that. So we'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Have to account for someone like Luke Evangelista and making these decisions, or is that just out of your control? You're not worried about that?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's out of our control, and we love Luke. You know, we miss him, but we're just focusing what we have right now. That's the external thing that we can't control. We hope it gets done. We can't wait to see him. But we have to get ourselves ready to play here for next Thursday. Today, like I said, with a smaller group, was much more intimate. And, you know, I really liked our practice today.
That was Andrew Brunette talking about the Luke Evangelista situation. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Friday. So basically the deal is he's a restricted free agent. He's not eligible for arbitration. And so they essentially have to get a deal done or trade him. And Barry Trotz has said he doesn't plan on trading him. They haven't asked for a trade. You know, it's all kind of been, we're going to get this done. It'll be fine. But it hasn't gotten done yet. And there were different reports that the Predators originally offered a 2-year deal at, you know, $1 million and then $2 million. And now there's $2.1 million that was thrown out there. And it's still not done yet. My thing is, Luke Evangelista is a good player. He's a young player. But he had a bad year last year. This is not the time to be, you know, kind of trying to have leverage, because quite frankly, I just don't think he has leverage. And so I feel like, you know, a 2-year deal is fair. You know, paying him $2 million a year, $2.1 million a year, or you know, even 1.5, I think, is probably his range right now. So I just, you know, I don't understand why they can't get this done. You know, a few people have said two years at $3 million would probably get it done. I don't know what the holdup is here. I really don't. More on the player side than the Pred side.
So is he all right? I'm a fan. I'm not on the inside here.
Yeah.
Should he not play tomorrow? If there's still,
well, he's not playing. He's not here right now.
Or is he?
He's in Canada practicing on his own because he doesn't have a contract, so he's not with the team.
Well, you just answered my question for me. I'm like, if I'm in limbo and I play and I get injured, you're not going to help
me?
Yeah,
no. Okay. No, he's not with them right now.
See? That's why I ask questions. I don't assume anything. That's good then.
So he was making, his previous cap hit was close to $800,000 a year. So I'm look, he deserves a raise, but I'm thinking like 1.5. Like take him up to one. So that would be a two-year, $3 million contract at 1.5 a year. That's kind of where I think he should be.
Is he worth that?
Yes. And I think he's potentially worth more. But he's got to prove it. And that's where I just don't understand this, because like last year, he played in 68 games. He had 32 points. That was down from, you know, he played 80 games the year before at 21 years old with 39 points, 16 goals. He only had 10 goals last year. I mean, he has not lived up to his potential. And so that's why I don't think he really has the leverage here to be in this holdout for as long as he's been in it.
I don't know. I can't add it. I just know he's a handsome dude on the – I just know that. That's all I know, man.
Yeah.
If he's needed to be out there, sign him, get him out there. If not, I mean, I'd love to have hair like that. That's all I know.
Dustin in Hopkinsville said that the whole team had a bad year last year. That's true. But, you know, when you're in a contract year, they're only looking at you. So I would look, and, you know, Barry Trotz, when we talked to him a few weeks ago, was kind of like, you know, we hope we're going to get it done. We're just, you know, it's we're not on the same page yet.
That was 2 weeks ago we talked to Trotz. I got the impression it's kind of like, we're good. We're going to go on if he's here or not, you know. Yeah. And that's – sometimes you got to be stoic in your agreements and stoic in your proposal. And so if you don't, they don't feel like he's at that price, good. Don't be dumb about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some Preds fans that are kind of like blaming the Predators and thinking that they should get this done. And I think it's, you know, obviously the Preds have to prove some things right now because their last year was so bad. But I like Luke Evangelista. I think he's a good player. But this is not a guy that I'm willing to overpay. Like Skyler just says, the cap just went up. Pay the kid $2.5 million a year and get him in. He's a young goal scorer. We need him. I'm going to disagree with you, Skyler. Like he hasn't proven that he can do that on a consistent basis. He has 33 goals in his career, and he's played 172 games.
Is he under contract? Again, another dumb question. So he's under contract, right? So he should
be
here?
He is not. No, he is. That this is where it gets weird.
Okay.
He is what you call a restricted free agent, which means he can only negotiate with the Predators.
All right.
Now, he could have been offer sheeted, technically. He wasn't. And that means there were, depending on how much the contract was, there would have been compensation. But he's also not eligible for arbitration either. So he doesn't have a ton of leverage. So he kind of needs to, if he wants to play this year, he kind of needs to kind of take what he can get and or request a trade, which Barry has no obligation to trade him either. And so if this is not done by December 1st, he doesn't play this year, but then they go and they do the whole song and dance all over again next year because he'd be RFA again. He's 22 or 23. So... All I mean, right. He's, you know, he does that. That's why this is so puzzling to a lot of people. And I know it's easy for Preds fans to kind of be like, we'll just pay him and move on. But I think Barry needs to set an example. I understand why he's not doing that, because like he's not worth $2.5 million a year right now. He hasn't earned that, in my opinion. You know, if they settle on $2 million per year, I don't love that, but. Okay, but I think that that's what this is, you know, you regressed, if you're being honest, and you're asking for more money than we think you have earned at this point, and that's where they're at. So I'm kind of like, hey, pay them, they've earned it, but I can't say that in this situation.
But hey, Preds Fest tomorrow. Go down and have fun.
Yep, exactly. One more. Dustin says he is young. We need youth, but he needs to do more to get more. He's one you could let go and be okay with. However, I feel this team needs young, good players. It would hurt if he went elsewhere and scored 25 to 30 a year.
Because you know that like that's the same thing with the Titans, right? And the Preds, they go elsewhere, and they're like all pro, yeah. All stars.
Yeah.
All that happens.
Brandy asks if a team can still offer sheet him. I don't know. I actually don't know the answer to that question, but I'll find out.
So with him is a team worse off without him?
I don't think so.
All right.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think there's untapped potential there, but I think there's, you know, I don't know. I think right now they got enough young, like, I think you could put Kimmel in there and you might get the same thing right now based on what I've seen. And plus he's missed all of camp, so. Now, if he can, you know, look, if they get this done at the 11th hour and he comes in and scores 30 goals this year, then good on him. But, you know, you gotta kind of prove it a little bit. And I think that's where that's what Barry Trotz is looking at.
Well, time will tell.
Yeah. Cause I think, you know, as Skyler just said, I didn't like Novak getting a 4-year deal. And I think Evangelista is better. So 2.5 is a deal in my mind, but I could be wrong. I think the Predators totally overpaid Novak, and they were lucky to trade that. They, you know, and we'll see what happens there. But just something to pay attention to for sure. We'll come back with more in hour number 3, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.